Aloha, everybody. This is Eva Andrade. I am the president of Hawaii Family Forum, and today we're speaking with Jim Hochberg, attorney here in the state of Hawaii. We are going to be giving you an update on Senate Bill 501. That the current status of the bill is that on May 4th, it was sent to Governor Ige for signature. It is still pending signature by the governor. But I know a lot of you have been asking for an update on what the process is and what we should be doing if there's a call to action, and maybe what any potential legal implications are once the governor signs the bill, if in fact he does. So Jim, why don't you give us a little bit of a background to remind people about what Senate Bill 501 is and how you're involved in it.
Senate Bill 501 was passed by the legislature this year, and it is a Planned Parenthood backed requirement in the state of Hawaii that the Christian Pregnancy Centers and some other organizations other than the Christian Pregnancy Centers would have to advertise in their pregnancy centers and post notices in their pregnancy centers about the availability of free state money in order to obtain what's described as the full range of reproductive health benefits, which is code for abortion. And they also would have to notify anybody that comes in of the fact, which is kind of dumb because it's just true, is if you have a sonogram read to you from somebody that doesn't have a medical license, you shouldn't believe it. Duh. I mean, okay. If I had a doctor that could read sonograms telling me how to fix my car, I wouldn't believe them either. But anyway, so that's what's required. And the problem with it is that the full range of reproductive health services, which includes abortion and the morning after pill and artificial contraception, raises issues of religious freedom for people who do not want to advocate for those aspects of the reproductive health scenario. And what comes to mind is the Obamacare challenge by the Little Sisters of the Poor, who didn't want to have to provide medical insurance to cover those things. And so it's the same kind of compelled speech problem. So if the governor does absolutely nothing, I believe July 11th is the last day that the bill then automatically becomes effective. Is that July 11th? Is that right? I think that's the right day. And so with some ADF attorneys and the attorney at NIFLA, which is National Institute for Family and Life Advocates, we'll be filing a lawsuit the day it becomes law, either because the governor signs it or it just goes into law. Now, what would be really cool would be if he vetoed it, which I don't expect would happen, but it would be really cool because if he did, the supporters of Planned Parenthood at the legislature would have to come back next January and start again, pass another bill. And what would be very cool about that is the California Ninth Circuit NIFLA case on a similar bill, which is currently before the Supreme Court of the United States for review, should the Supreme Court accept the case, which we'll be knowing in about a month or so. Maybe the Supreme Court will already have struck down the California law by next January. And the reason that would be important is that California Ninth Circuit opinion on the California law is the basis and the foundation for the Hawaii legislature having acted this year. So if the U.S. Supreme Court strikes down that California law, the foundation in Hawaii for what they did this year would be gone. And then we wouldn't have to sue here because hopefully the legislature would not pass the bill again.
So if a reasonable person is listening to this that may not have a support for a pregnancy resource center, should they still be concerned because of this idea of government-compelled speech?
Well, sure. There are different categories of speech. Some are less protected than others. I can assure you that the Armour meat processing company would rather not spend the money to print on the labels of the hot dogs what's in them. But they have to, because the government compels that speech. That speech is called commercial speech. And commercial speech can be regulated by the government for health and welfare purposes. So the legislatures, Congress decided that it was important for us to know what our hot dogs are made out of. I guess they were hoping we wouldn't buy them, but we do anyway, because we don't really read the little print. But the hot dog company has to pay to print that label on every single thing they do. So why would we care about that? Because free speech means free speech. And a pregnancy center, most pregnancy centers are ministries, para-church ministries. They aren't actually churches, but the people that are interested in working in the pregnancy center are church-going Christians, and the reason they do the work is because of the faith issues around preserving babies in the womb, helping moms after they have babies, raise babies nutritionally or whatever that stuff is, and also helping women who previously had abortions that are suffering from post-abortion psychological issues. They have, the pregnancy centers have counseling apparatus for that. So why would it matter that the legislature is compelling the pregnancy centers to be supportive of abortion resources? I will answer the question with a question. So if you had an abortion 10 years ago and you were finding that you've been since then and currently suffering psychological issues because you did murder your baby in utero, and you find out that you can go to a pregnancy center and have a Bible study designed and geared toward freeing you from the guilt that's associated, that's causing these problems, and the first thing you see when you walk in the door is a sign telling you how to get money to get an abortion, that's really not very helpful to that particular process. And that's one of the big problems with SB 501. The problem that the legislature identified as the reason to compel pro-abortion speech in these Christian pregnancy centers is the not true fact that the pregnancy centers do not give accurate information to people that come in. And since they apparently, allegedly, don't give accurate information, it's important for women that are pregnant to get accurate information. Consequently, they have to be referred to people who do give accurate information, which just happens to be Planned Parenthood. The problem is Planned Parenthood doesn't give accurate information either. You will never hear a Planned Parenthood person even whisper about post-abortion trauma, ever. And you probably won't hear them talk about if a girl has taken the first in the series of RU486 pills, or the morning after Ella pills, that it's reversible if within a certain period of time they go to the hospital. So those pieces of information are not deemed important information to the legislature. But if the legislature was really trying to attain the purpose they claim SB 501 was for, they would have a balanced compelled speech situation requiring Planned Parenthood and pregnancy centers to post information about health insurance available money to pay for the full range of reproductive health services, as well as post-abortion trauma, as well as reversibility of over-the-counter abortifacients. But that's not what the bill does. So that's a long way of saying compelled speech that does not address the problem it was supposed to be addressing is constitutionally problematic.
So what can people do right now to make a difference? Do you think calling the governor and asking him to veto the bill, is that would that do any good? What do you recommend?
Well, you have the constitutional right to petition your government for redress of grievances. That's the language in the First Amendment, which would include calling his office and telling him you want him to veto the bill. I don't know that it would work, but if it did, it would be a huge miracle, and I'm always in for miracles, so go for it.
What we're recommending definitely is, first of all, you pray about it and see what the Lord is leading you to do. But there are things you can do right now to make a difference. Number one, if our pregnancy resource centers can start building up what they do, their ministries in the community, then maybe women won't choose organizations like Planned Parenthood. And they have a battle ahead of them because of this court case. That you can do right away. And on our website, we will be posting all this information. The second thing that you can do is to get alongside 40 Days for Life. These guys, this is what they do, is they set up opportunities for women and men to go and pray at the Planned Parenthood locations. And for those of you that have been watching the news, you know that Planned Parenthood just purchased an $8 million building, and they'll be opening up that next summer. So you think about it, you pray about it, and you see what the Lord is leading you to do. But in the meantime, we appreciate you taking the time to listen to these little updates, and we'll continue to put them out there as things are updated in the news. So we thank you, Jim, for once again sitting with us, and we thank you all for listening to us. Jim, you got any last final words?
Well, you know, if you got any Catholics out there, imagine going up for communion, and right behind where the wine is shared, there's a sign on the wall, because the government said it, the Catholic Church had to post it, and the sign was required to read, "The state of Hawaii law makes it illegal for persons under 21 years of age to consume alcohol." That's what this is. It's exactly the same thing.
Thank you for listening. This is Eva Andrade with Hawaii Family Forum, and we leave you with God's blessing. Mahalo.